This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
12:03, Hartman, Carter, Harrigan. You know what Jesse said? Can you have the Jesse soundbite by any chance, Adam? A lot of real shows would have asked these questions beforehand. We're not a real show. We're a starter show. And we're getting there. Maybe we'll hit our stride. I don't know, 2056 or so? 2056, that would be 38 years from now. Dave Harrigan, how confident are you, 0 to 10, that you will be alive 38 years from now?
I think I can make 38.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
You pull that off.
What age are you now?
34.
34, so 72?
72, that'd be a nice run. I'd like to hit 80. 80's a good number.
And then you're done? I mean, that was the inference, Adam, wasn't it? You know, boom, I'm done.
Well, I'm not saying I'm going to, you know, call it at that point, but, yeah. You know, I think if I make 80, it's a heck of a run.
You look back and you say, mission accomplished?
With your lineage, 38 years, you'll be, what, middle age at that point?
Puberty.
You're unbelievable.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. How about that? 2 weeks around me, and he just called me unbelievable.
I think it was more, you're unbelievable.
No, most of the time when I'm told that by somebody who's around me is there's an effing unbelievable.
Wow. And so, on effing believable. That's when it's better when you put it in between.
That's true. That is precise. Okay, so I would then be 91.
Ooh, yeah, I'd be 81.
Yes.
I hope I'm there, but I didn't realize I'd be confronting my own mortality so soon on the show today. Usually that's at the end when I realize, good God.
What did I just do?
Another day of this.
Another 3 hours of this.
Which one of us?
My soul is just drained.
Exactly. What happened to my moral compass? Where is it? Knowing our lifestyles, I think I have a better chance to make it to 91 than you do 81.
Oh, stop it.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. I mean, the decadence. The lavish lifestyle, the bon vivant that you live in. Dave and I we identify with real Americans.
With the common man.
Real Americans. No, he's on another station.
Right.
You got multiple homes.
Hobnobber.
You know.
My hobnobbing.
You're basically spooning with.
You are a rude, terrible person.
Jim Beam and Jack Daniels and Pinot Noir. I don't know. I think I got a better chance. I mean, you're now in kind of some fitness though, right?
Kind of now? I've always been into fitness. Sometimes a little more dedicated than others. I am though, yeah. I'm on a good kick.
You are on a good kick right now. I don't know. I mean, I want to make it. I want to make it past 91. Listen, I saw a gentleman that I just saw earlier today. How often is that true, though? Can we look that up? That if just because you have, in this case, a man I love dearly, who I just was with earlier today, who's 98, who again, you know, all he cares about right now, not hi, how you doing? Okay, why did this guy get hired? Why does that guy get hired? Which basically is asking me all these things over one reason. How does it affect me? That's the only reason. The 98-year-old whose strongest quality, without a doubt, is his insecurity. Does it really mean that much, you think? If you have a mother or father that lives a long life, we know that if you have a mother or father who has illnesses, that, you know, you can have a gene of some sort.
According to Wikipedia, the end-all, a person's lifespan is thought to be largely determined by the combined effects of genetics and environmental factors. Twin studies, however, suggest genetics only account for 20 to 30% of an individual's chance of surviving to age 85.
I mean, I'm sleeping like an average of 3 hours
a night.
That's
tough. That's why there's no way you're going to
I don't,
me.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm surprised you're still here, to be honest.
I don't think that was a genuine sorry, by the way. Do you think it was?
It's kind of one of those sorries where I feel good about myself. Sorry about you.
Yeah. I don't think you should feel good about yourself. You just should feel that you're better off than me. Is that it?
Yeah, yes. Kind of a pity. Sorry.
Are you patting me on the hat? You know, the little ball cap I'm wearing right now. Will you come visit me in the home?
Sure.
Will you change my diaper in the home?
Oh, man, no. Let's not go there.
Why not?
Because.
You just won't do it.
Yeah.
You would just watch me.
I'd call for the nurse. I'd call for Lancey.
Yeah. What if Lancey and Mrs. L are also taking care of me?
Oh, man.
35 some years from now. Wouldn't be the worst thing, right?
No. They're good at what they do.
I'd take them now. I mean, is that a part of the deal? I would do that. How did we even get here? I don't even remember how we started.
I don't know.
Because I was going to go with, we'll get to this at 103 because I think the folks in Dubai are listening to the show. 103, like Jesse in Lebanon, I think the folks in Dubai are listening to the show. Loaded show today. My father, Dave Harrigan, quickly, his middle name. What's your guess?
Your father's middle name.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney. I have no idea.
Doesn't have one.
Francis.
No middle name?
No.
Middle nameless. What percentage of people in America do not have a middle name?
Do we know the reason?
I did at one point, and I don't remember right now. Your middle name is?
Alan.
Alan? No, we don't approve.
Well.
Adam?
I could talk to my parents, I guess.
Let's get them on
call.
It's a solid middle name.
D.A. You're the D.A.
I don't know that I'm the D.A.
I always thought Katie was the D.A. You're the D.A.
I don't know. I mean, that was my father's middle name, so I guess they just went with it. My mother certainly liked to yell it out when I got in trouble.
If we get him on the air, I'll say Adam didn't like the name. I loved it all along. my father, 235. Kurt Doubt. It's been a while since we chatted with Mr. Doubt. Last time we chatted with him.
I talked to him last night.
Thanks a lot. We could
have used that. It was after your showtime.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
We chat from time to time.
Good enough. You talk and text more than people know. He's going to join us at 1:35. Last time we chatted with him, he was firing on all cylinders at the governor at the state fair. We'll see what he has to say on a variety of issues, including the surplus, because I walked in today. And out of nowhere, there was $10,000.
Flush with cash.
I mean, $10,000.
Out of pockets.
Yeah, I mean, it was just right there. And the one and only Major Garrett is with us at 12:35. The Kevin Hart controversy. Let's jump in. I'm liking this. Are we keeping these tunes on the show?
I mean, this is the Harrigan rotator right here. It kind of comes and goes with me.
No, we'd like to keep this.
I'd actually never heard this song until I discovered it this morning. It's pretty good.
Potter up.
Who is it?
Yeah.
Jamestown Revival is the band. The song is called Revival.
This is excellent.
Not bad at all.
I'm liking it. Yeah, rotate those maybe in the system. All right, I mentioned the other day, reacting to the news, Kevin Hart. And I've joked about Kevin Hart, like many, that he's ubiquitous, that there's a new movie out, endlessly. When I do see him, I think he's funny. I think it's silly when he's, trying to be part of so much of the sports stuff. Was it last year's Super Bowl where he tried to get up on the podium?
Get up on the Eagles podium.
That was a bit much. But when I see him on shows, I find him funny. You two were like, enough. We don't want Kevin Hart with the Oscars, right? And I was like, I think he's funny. I like something different. Well, it's over. I mean, it was a heck of a run by now. People are probably aware. First, what you're aware of is the folks who work for the Oscars, who are in charge of selecting the new hosts, are not in this group because I saw an item today that there are 3.9 billion people who are on the internet. Apparently, the folks behind the Oscar selections are not because they didn't know this new invention called Google. So if they wanted to, Google Kevin Hart and controversies and his background, which I guess you would probably do if you're selecting the host for the Oscars, or you're saying, we don't care. It's Kevin Hart. He's a comedian. He's edgy. He'll be funny. That we're going to draw lines on the latitude comedians get compared to everyday individuals, and context does matter, because years ago, Kevin Hart, among tweets and jokes, said, "Yo, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say, stop, that's gay." In another tweet, he says someone's profile looks like a gay billboard for AIDS. In another, he calls someone a fat-faced and the ultimate slur towards gay individuals. He also had another joke in concert about his son and gay. Now, we have watched this country change, and thankfully change, dramatically in treating individuals who are homosexual with greater respect. I mean, let's not forget, in the 2008 presidential election, those noted homophobic candidates, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, at the time, were not for legalized gay marriage. That was 10 years ago. That wasn't some radical right-winger. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. So the Oscars reach out to Hart and say, "You have to apologize. You need to do this." He's like, "Nope, not going to do it. I've apologized for this before. I'm not going to do it." He then says again, "Listen, I've evolved. I'm a 40-year-old. I'm trying to be a better person. I'm not going to do it." And they then say, "You're gone." He then comes out later and apologizes, says, "If I offended anybody, that was not my intent. I'm sorry I hurt people. My goal is to bring people together, not tear us apart. Much love and appreciation to the Academy. I hope we can meet again." And he had openly talked for a long time about wanting to host the Academy Awards. Let's pause here. Yes or no, should Kevin Hart have been fired? Because that's what he was. He was barely hired, and then he was fired. Did he handle it the right way? Did the Academy Awards handle it the right way? Is the mob mentality winning? Or is that too convenient to say the mob mentality is winning? Because even if you're a comedian, you should be held to some standards about comments or tweets or written statements that you have made. Chime in any way you'd like through a text, 81807, or a phone call, 651-989-9226. All right, the Kevin Hart controversy. Adam Carter, comments from Kevin Hart 9-10 years ago, comedian, edgy,
yeah,
popular, successful. You really didn't have to search that hard to find these.
I was not aware of them.
But if you're the Academy...
Oh, yeah. No, I get
okay,
it.
Okay, and you're looking. But no, yeah. If you would ask me on Monday, Kevin Hart, are you aware of these? I would have said no.
And that's why I bring that up, because assessing how I feel about this, I'd have to know. Now I know what he said, but I'd also, he says that he had covered it before and talked about it.
He said, I'll believe him.
Yeah.
I mean, that he has apologized for this.
So, I mean, I blame the Academy Awards for not, you know, obviously investigating this further before they make the decision. And I think Kevin Hart's response is bravo. I mean, pushing back, saying, look, I don't know to the extent he's addressed those, but I take him at his word that he's evolved as a human being. I think we all have that opportunity to do that.
Yep.
And yeah, I agree with what he did.
I would have, and I want you to chime in too, Dave, I would have a much bigger problem with Kevin Hart if this had come up, I don't know, one time or five times, and he was just, I'm a comedian, just accept it. But I'm taking him not only for his word, but for the numerous other outlets who haven't pushed back at him, who cover Hollywood, because they would say, no, he has not done this before. But if he does feel like he's apologized, and he has done it, is he allowed to say I'm a better person now? Because among our texts, they raise race, right? If this came about and it was a white comedian, let's go with that, who said some just awful comments towards African Americans, and it was in the 90s. And he has since apologized repeatedly.
Like Michael Richards.
Michael Richards.
Let's say his career is different now than it was then, and he would be in line to host the Oscars.
Well, what did that do to Michael Richards' career? Because he was immensely popular on Seinfeld, and, I mean, Julie Louis-Dreyfus is the leader in the clubhouse. I mean, Jerry's really successful, too, but he hasn't had much at all, has he? So it had a huge effect on his career.
He had a couple TV shows that went nowhere.
Did he actually have shows?
Yeah, he had at least.
He played like a private detective. That might have been before.
I think they were before, but he was at least still in the public eye, whereas now.
The closest thing he had was the season of Curb, where they poked fun at him, right? And it was just phenomenal. But would a white comedian get the same opportunity as Kevin Hart wants for himself?
I guess I don't know. Probably not, but it's hard to say. As far as the Kevin Hart thing goes, I appreciate his response. I commend him for saying, I already apologize. I'm a different person. Let's move on. And I frankly don't blame the Academy. Maybe they should have looked into him a little more, done some vetting, but the guy has been, as you said, ubiquitous as anybody over the last decade and a half. He's been in every movie. He's done stand-up all over the country. He appears on every TV channel. I don't blame the Academy that much for saying, well, nobody's complained about anything he's done in the last 15 years, so he's probably good. Let's go with it.
I mean, listen, I think he's talented. I think he's funny. I like watching him. I don't think he needs to be in 90 movies a year. But if he's going to apologize, why not just apologize from the get-go, right? Why not say, okay, I get a lot of people are looking at me again, and this is as successful as been, because these movies he's made have made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. But as far of a profile to host the Oscars, that's probably the biggest thing of his career. I mean, even though the guy's selling out, he's selling out football stadiums for his comedy shows. But why not say, for the folks who are not aware, I own this one. I was wrong. I have apologized before, but if you haven't heard it, I'm willing to do it again.
Yeah, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you his reasoning other than, it would be frustrating, I guess, if you feel like you've addressed it. And then you feel like, okay, they've asked me, so obviously it's not a problem if they're asking me.
Yeah.
Then suddenly, well, wait a minute. I mean, that would tick me off.
And that would open up to you every new opportunity you get. You have to think, well, okay, I have to have an apology before I accept, this new thing that I get to do now.
We had some fun yesterday with Baby It's Cold Outside, right? And led us down the line of, well, we could look at every single song then, right? If we go back to every comedian who has joked about something? Who are we left with? Gallagher? I mean, juggling.
Hey, don't sleep on Gallagher.
Juggling. I mean,
he might upset the vegans. I mean, he's destroying fruit, for God's sake.
quick text here, and then we're going to pause, get a major. White people, apparently that's us, are constantly finding dirt on black celebrities because y'all are jealous of black excellent. It's old, so what? He's famous and he's evolved. Yeah, this show. That really reflects this show. Tried the generalization in other people outside of this show. Kind of like Brett Kavanaugh. Do people get punished today for what they did many years ago? A potentially either joke or an offensive comment is not the same thing for me as a sexual assault. Funny. That's just how I view that. These are the same people covered for Harvey Weinstein for years. They're calling out Hart. It's the height of hypocrisy. A person should not be held for their worst moments. More text here. We all learn. We're all different people than we were 5 days, 5 months, 5 years ago. Let's pause. Traffic, weather, and Major Garrett. But right now I'm going to tell you about Harry's, the best razor in the business. Again today, use Harry's like Millions did today because millions have switched to Harry's, and this company continues to get bigger and bigger. Why not jump on board and ride this and use Harry's like I have the last 5 years? It's simply the best product out there. This is for new and established customers. Because you listen to our show, Harry's.com, code Hartman. Harry's.com, code Hartman. You get $5 off. And remember, free shipping. That ends next week, though, everybody. That's December 12th. Don't wait till the weekend. Don't wait till next week. Do it today. What do you get with a limited edition set? All of them get a weighted handle, German engineer 5-blade cartridges, the foam and shave gel, the travel cover, and the handsome holiday gift box. You give this for Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whichever holiday applies to you. This gift will be met with a smile and appreciation. Do it today. Harry's.com. Code is Hartman.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
When you're in the news business, you are at the whim of current events, especially when significant events take place. It was 1 week ago when we learned in the evening about the passing of the 41st president, George Herbert Walker Bush, and certainly the country paid close attention and honored and celebrated the man's life, including our next guest, Major Garrett. I bring that up because Major was scheduled to make an appearance in downtown Minneapolis just 2 days ago on Wednesday, and we were scheduled to have Major in studio for the entire 2 o'clock hour. We were looking forward to that, but we completely understand that you are a large part of CBS's coverage. Always a pleasure to chat with you, sir. When you look back at this week, the comments made about George Bush, the human being, and the president, give me some of the comments that will stay with you the longest.
Well, first of all, great to be with you, Chad. And good news, we are working this hour on making sure I can be in your studio the 17th, because I'm coming to Minneapolis for that previously scheduled speech. And afterwards, I hope to come by your studio and see you in person.
Fabulous.
Recreate what we were trying to create and had locked down for Wednesday of this week.
Perfect.
So we're going to do this.
Yes.
And we're going to do it soon.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
So here's what I remember most. Obviously, tributes to George Herbert Walker Bush, the patriarch of the family, speak for themselves. No one needs me, a reporter who watched him from the vantage point of covering Congress, to describe in any greater detail or with any more vivid personal descriptions of his approach to family than those members of his family himself. And I think anyone who is lucky enough to be a father and hope someday to become a grandfather would love to have a tribute like George P. Bush gave yesterday at the funeral in Houston. Have a grandchild speak as lovingly and reverently about the grandfather. So that all speaks for itself. What sticks with me is what I first remember, because I was just arriving in Washington in 1990, 91, and 92, covering Congress. A couple of things. It was a busy time, even though it was a Republican presidency and an entrenched and opposed Democratic Congress who had lost Democratic Party, that is, three straight presidential elections. This did not create what you would assume would be an atmosphere for a lot of productive legislative outcomes, and yet it was. Why? Because George Herbert Walker Bush, now recognized as someone who was, as I described him on CBS, organically bipartisan. What does that mean? By inclination. He wasn't pressed into it as Bill Clinton was after Republicans took control of Congress, or George W. Bush was, or Barack Obama. It was his original opening bid. We're going to be bipartisan, so let's get these things done. That appraisal was absolutely almost non-existent actually during his presidency. It's much more appreciated now. Why does that stick with me? Because the presidency operates at that level. You have to, as president, measure not just your motives and goals in the moment, but how they will stand or not stand the test of time. And for George Herbert Walker Bush, the appraisals this last week were so much more generous.
Yes.
And inclusive of these risks and courage than they were at the time. And guess what?
Yep.
That's what comes with the hardness of being president. You may not get any credit at all while you are there. But many years later, history may look back on you far more favorably than it did at the time. And living with that reality, I'm not saying it's the biggest burden of being president, but it's one of them.
And also, Major, listen, our tendency in life, whether it's a large public figure or it's individuals in our own lives, that when they pass, we have a tendency to bypass some of their faults, to raise them to higher heights. And I really don't have a problem with that, right? I have a problem with when people are disingenuous in real life. But when we're celebrating something, I think that's the decency in us. Part of what stood out to me, too, Major, is it doesn't mean you have to philosophically, politically agree with everything he did, but about the human being, about the person, about his commitment to this country, that the cross-section of words were genuine. It was not formulaic. It was not, here's what I have to say with when one of our leaders passes. Here's what I actually truly believe.
Right. And there was this sense at the time when George Herbert Walker Bush was seeking the presidency, there was a Newsweek cover getting over the wimp factor that this guy was somehow a patrician, northeastern establishment Republican, didn't have any real machismo, real vision, real construct. And looking back on his presidency, you can say, wait a minute, it actually takes guts to be bipartisan. It takes guts to make political risks. It takes guts to do what he did in the aftermath of the dissolution of the Soviet Union and say, you know what? Strategically, I know maybe my country is hungry for triumphalism and a big celebration, but it's too volatile a time for that. The superpower needs to be quieter, not louder in victory. That was not politically adept or astute at the time. He probably understood so. As a matter of fact, in the State of the Union address in 1992, which if you're curious, I really recommend reading, he says, you know, even with this most fascinating vantage point I had as president, sometimes I was too busy managing change to let you know as my countrymen what a joy this was. He was almost apologizing for not taking that political maneuver and spiking the football, to use and extend the metaphor. But he was trying to explain why he didn't do that. At the time, again, viewed if not harshly, skeptically. But now we know from those closest to him, there was a strategic rationale behind it. That takes guts also. So this whole wimp thing, so heavily associated with and kind of an undercurrent,
right,
doesn't look wimpy in retrospect.
Not at all. Major Garrett with us. I hope by now you've read his book, highly praised. I highly endorse it. Mr. Trump's Wild Ride. You see Major often on CBS as their chief White House correspondent. Hopefully you listen to his great podcast, The Takeout. Let's get to a lot of news that has happened already today, and we're still expecting another significant piece of news with Robert Mueller. Let's get with John Kelly. Is it just a matter of days until John Kelly is gone? And if so, why?
It just might be a matter of hours. The feeling is this relationship has been rocky since the midterms. It's gotten rockier, more silent. The power vacuum has been filled by a couple of people inside the White House, one Jared Kushner. In the case of a nomination today, formal announcement of William P. Barr as the next attorney general, that's definitely a reflection of Emmett Flood, the person who is closest to, though not White House counsel, but a significant lawyerly voice within the White House. John Kelly, either tonight or tomorrow, probably will be announced that he is leaving or he has resigned or in some transitional phase. I've been reporting since the mid of November that he was likely to be exiting and his successor would be the vice president's chief of staff, Nick Ayers, because the White House and the president have come to believe it needs a chief of staff with far deeper roots in American politics, Republican Party politics, and presidential politics to gear up for the 2020 reelection. And John Kelly has strengths, order, discipline, managerial strengths, true, but he's not a political figure and he's not someone adept in understanding all the various fault lines of Republican politics in the Trump era or any other era. Why? Well, he was a general in the United States Marine Corps, not supposed to be political.
Mm-hmm.
So this transition is really about bringing someone in who has a political ear, a political eye, and a sort of political antennae that's constantly circling to look out for opportunities and possible perils for this White House. So there's going to be at the White House tonight a senior staff dinner with the president. It's my understanding through numerous sources that something will be announced tonight along these lines, and there'll be a transition of a couple of weeks, but this is going to happen.
Is the new UN ambassador qualified to do her job?
Well, the Senate will determine that, and that's not for me to offer an opinion about. I will just say that Heather Nauert, the nominee, got to be confirmed by the Senate before she takes the job, has less obvious skills going into that position than many of her predecessors. That's just a fact. That's not a knock necessarily. Look, the president won. He can nominate whomever he wants, whomever he's comfortable with. Heather Nauert has sort of risen and fallen on this depth chart. One gentleman was brought in earlier this week, John James, who was the Republican nominee in Michigan for Senate. That campaign didn't work out well. His interview with the president didn't work out so well. Heather Nauert went back to the top of the depth chart, was named by the president today. The Senate will render an opinion on that. She'll be criticized for not having the pedigree of some of her successors, like John Bolton, like Jean Kirkpatrick, like Adlai Stevenson, like a lot of people with deep roots in American diplomacy and experience at the State Department and other roles in government before taking on that position. It's also worth keeping an eye on, Chad, exactly where this position, if in fact Heather Nauert fills it, will be in the national security foreign policy pecking order of this administration. We have been led to believe this will be a downgraded position bureaucratically, not cabinet level, meaning not what Nikki Haley had. Heather Nauert may be more akin to a UN spokesperson for the United States than a full-blown ambassador changing outcomes and changing votes and things like that. That work may be more left to John Bolton, the National Security Advisor, and Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State.
You know how reluctant, while he was Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson was to give interviews. He gave a rare one yesterday to your colleague, a legend in the business, Bob Schieffer in Houston, part of what he said about the president. What was challenging for me is coming from the discipline, high-process-oriented Exxon Mobil Corporation, was to go to work for a man who's pretty undisciplined, doesn't like to read, doesn't read briefing reports, doesn't like to get into the details of a lot of things, but rather just kind of says, this is what I believe. And one other quick quote. So often, the president would say, here's what I want to do, and here's how I want to do it. And I would have to say to him, Mr. President, I understand what you want to do, but you can't do it that way. It violates the law. Pretty stunning quotes from the former Secretary of State.
Yes, they are. You really haven't seen a kind of basic civics description like that. They are in concert with things that have been said about this president anonymously, even suggested in the now either famous or infamous New York Times op-ed. Former Secretary of State is giving voice to that.
Exactly.
And the president will criticize him for that and say Rex just simply didn't understand, couldn't get with it, was too stodgy, was too straight-laced. The Secretary of State, former, now speaking on his behalf, is prepared to say, no, that's not true. I did know what the law was. I did know what discipline was. I did know what goals are, and I knew how you could legally pursue them. There were times when the president wanted to sort of jump over those things. And in my book, I talk about this, that there were times when people said to the president, we understand where you want to get, but help us let get you there. But you can't get there that fast or that way. You have to go through a process. And there is, without question, an impatience that President Trump brings to this job. And some of it is structural, meaning he doesn't understand the structures and has sort of an underlying dissatisfaction bordering on contempt for them. And sometimes he's just impatient, just generally, I want to get there. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Some people who work closely to him find that encouraging, that he's impatient with change and wants to get to places that he deems important more rapidly. They find in that sometimes a virtuous inclination. And not every one of these clashes is, you're trying to break the law.
Sure.
No, we got to slow down. We got to follow the procedures. And we can get there. Just let you help us get there. So I don't want to overamp this and say the president's constantly yelling at people, break the law, break the law. That's not my interpretation. But his impatience does startle people. There's no question about that. And the former Secretary of State gave voice to that.
Last thing, the most important thing with about 60 seconds to go here, and I will only call them while you're on the show, the San Diego Chargers. Do they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl?
I don't know the other one.
Yeah, the other team's irrelevant. I mean, who knows? They might end up back in San Diego again because like 5,000 people are going to their games. Can they go to the Super Bowl this year?
I suppose it's certainly possible. Literally, I do not watch a single play of that team at all.
Really?
I make a point of not watching a single play unless I'm forced to because I'm walking by a television and it happens to be on. When I say it's over, I mean it's over. They were in a primetime game last Sunday, and they won it in the last second.
Yes.
Something I just never did when I was actually rooting for them. I didn't watch a play. Won't watch a play. I'm done. We are divorced, period.
They are in the Super Bowl. They are in the Super Bowl this year. You will not watch them.
No. No.
Wow. Resolute. Man.
Yeah. It's about my hometown.
Yeah.
Okay. And my hometown matters more than the laundry they wear or the name they have. And that's it. Bottom line.
That is commitment. Thank you, sir. I look forward to hopefully all the
See
details.
You next week.
Yeah. Maybe the 17th. That'd be great if it works out.
We're working on it right now. They're going to be calling you if they haven't already.
Fantastic. Thanks, Major.
Thank you, Chad.
The great Major Garrett with us is 1253. Your Wolves, your red hot Timberwolves. Are we still tracking the Wolves? That's what it was when I was calling the games back in the dark ages. We were tracking the Wolves. John Folkey will start the tracking at 8:30 when they take on the Blazers, never the T-Blazers, okay? It's seriously, I've been gone since 2006. Still drives me nuts. They're not the T-Wolves. If you call them the T-Wolves, I hope you roll your ankle painfully.
Wow,
I do.
Tough.
I do. Especially if you're a member of the media. Hey, member of the if you call the Timberwolves the T-Wolves and you're a member of the media, I say you lose your job.
Okay.
They're not the T-Wolves. They're the Timberwolves. They're the Wolves.
Can't be the T-Wolves?
No, they're not the T-Wolves.
Some people think they might be, Chad. I don't know why you have to be
upset. Well, they're
wrong.
They're wrong.
Okay.
You know,
no, that's
fine.
I mean, I don't call them the T-Wolves. I'm not sticking up for those
people. Sounds like you are.
No, well, I'm just trying to see, you know, take a little devil's advocate and see what's really behind this hatred you have right now.
Accuracy.
Okay.
You know, principle.
Well,
America.
Is Wolves accurate if they are the Timberwolves?
Yes, you can shorten that. But you don't need to add a T to it because they are not the T-Wolves.
Letting people know that they're not just the Wolves either.
Yeah.
Oh, why you have to be so upset?
Why don't you roll out in traffic? Seriously.
God, you need a weekend. Good Lord.
No, it's like, hey, my former station, it's not KFan. It's the fan. I got a lot of problems.
Yeah, I can see
that. I really do have a lot of problems. Saturday, 8:30, apparently the T-Wolves and the T-Blazers hooking up the opening tap with Alan's excellent call about 9:10.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.